Chapter 5, keep your finger also in James 1, if that's where you went just now. I'm in Romans chapter 5, preaching on the verse that we have here. We're basically, and I don't know that I'm really aligning this up and getting it all done, but we're basically on the fourth benefit of what salvation does for us. Again, what Jesus has done for us. The first one is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Because we're justified by faith, we have peace. That's the first benefit. We have peace with God. I've preached on that. The second benefit is that, again, we have access to grace. We have access into God's grace. Number three, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the fourth thing we have as we run into our verse now is that we can glory in tribulations. Even when things are tough, we can glory in tribulations. That's the fourth benefit as Paul is going down through Romans chapter 5. Peace, grace, hope, and now we can glory in tribulations. Father, I pray you might help us with the Word of God today. Lord, help us to understand exactly what it means, how to apply it to our lives, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do His work to make the Scriptures and its truth work in our lives, that we would be stronger Christians. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know it's always tough when people talk about, again, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. But I just come down to a very simple thing of what we might call spiritual fitness. We all understand physical fitness. I give you a little story here. A couple of years ago, and I forget when it was. When you get older, things just blend together, do they? But it could have been like this summer. Was it two summers ago? I don't think it was last summer. But Johnny, you can tell me when you were counseling out at Camp Kennesatake. I decided to ride my bicycle out to Kennesatake and see you. I think that this summer, it was two summers ago, is that right? And so I decided to ride on out and see John at Camp Kennesatake. I thought I'd cheat a little bit, so I packed the bicycle on the back of the car, and I was going to drive out to the museum, the War Museum in Bowlesburg, and park at the War Museum, and get my bike out and head out Route 45 from there. So some of you know where I started, the War Museum. But when I got there, they were having some kind of big festival out there. What's that thing called? The We First or something thing? I mean, I never saw so many people in my life. Okay, the whole fields were filled. They were having a big arts and crafts festival. So I couldn't park there. So I said, well, I know where Spring Creek Park is. It's not Spring Creek Park, but another park. We have the Memorial Day races in that park. What's that? Blue Spring. And I said, well, I'll try that. So I went over and found a parking spot. So I took the bike off and I said, well, you know, I'm going to ride up the hill here and then head out 45 and go through Pine Grove Mills and just ride out 45 and get to Kennesatake. So I did. Got out there. Johnny was counseling. Got to see him in action. When I got out there, they offered me some food for lunch. So I ate some food for lunch while I was out there and decided to ride back. Well, I went out 45 and decided I didn't want to come back the same way. So I said, well, I'm going to take the side roads and come back through Marengo, if somebody knows how you do that. So I'm going to ride back through Marengo. Didn't realize that most of my ride to Kennesatake was downhill. Okay, so when I was coming back through Marengo, there was a lot of uphills and all that. I was coming back through the town and stopping there from time to time. Finally stopped. What's the town just on the other side of State College there? There's a church there on the corner. Pennsylvania Furnace. Stopped in Pennsylvania Furnace, got off the bike, sat down in the grass, and realized I had about 6 or 7 more miles to go and didn't know if I could make it. I mean, I was tired, okay? I really didn't know how far the trip was going to be, but I was really tired. I hadn't ridden my bicycle this far in a long time, okay? I've done some running. I hadn't done any bike riding. I sat down there. In fact, as the bike was sitting there and I was sitting by this hedge and the stop sign was there and I was kind of propped up against something, you know, like this guy in a pickup truck looked at me and go, you all right? And at that point in time, I realized I looked bad, okay? Because he said, you all right? And I go, yeah, I'm all right. And I said, I got some water here and I got one more thing of beans or whatever, jelly beans. Maybe I can get some sugar in me. I said, I'll make it there, whatever. Sitting there a little while later, and I think, well, I'm feeling a little bit better. Car pulls up. Guy's looking at me. He goes, you all right? I said, I'm going to make it. I got about 6 miles to go. All right, he said. Well, I hope you make it. You know, so at that point in time, I was like, man, I must really look flush, something like that. I got back on my bike, and again, they were doing some construction on Whitehall Road, but I was able to get through it. Got back into Bowlesburg or whatever, and just kind of sat at the picnic table for a while and thought, wow, That was more than I thought. Okay? That was hard. And I think it was around, was it around 50 miles, 40 some miles, about 50 miles. And that was, wow, I said, that was really hard. Okay? It was fun to do. I'm glad I did it. And it was really hard. Wow. Well then, you know, the next year, less a little that later, John comes up with this great idea. He said, hey, at the end of the summer, near the end of the summer, let's go on a 100-mile bike ride. I can't even do 50. I'm like, wow, that's aggressive, because I did 50. And that about killed me, according to some people, okay? And I was tired. Oh, the next day, I mean, my legs were sore. I mean, muscles I had. And by the way, if you run and you ride a bike, there are two different sets of muscles there, I think. And I was like, wow, okay, 100-mile bike ride, right? And I realized something in me right there. I can't ride a bicycle 100 miles. I can't do it. All right. But when he said, let's go ahead and run a 100-mile bike ride, and I thought, okay. And this was the plan as he was talking to me. And I don't know when we talked. I don't know everything. But I knew that I wanted to run. I always run a race in May. I've been running it for years. I've been running a race. So I wanted to do a half marathon in May. And I said, as soon as that's over, I'm going to kind of keep on a running schedule, but I'm going to get the bike out and I'm going to start riding. Okay. Because I know that if I just tell John on a certain day, let's go ride 100 miles, at mile 50, maybe even at mile 43 or whatever, I'm done. I don't know that I can ride that far. So, again, I don't know what you do or whatever, but, you know, going online, you can go online and, you know, you can kind of ask the questions. I want to ride a bicycle 100 miles in one day. What do I need to do? Okay? And all of a sudden, they'll take you to training schedules and all that. And you can start following the training schedules. And sure enough, I looked at the training schedule. Now, again, nobody can keep the training schedule perfect, but you get an idea about, okay, this is what I got to do, and this is what I need to do. And so, again, through last spring, going into the summer, I put together a training schedule because I did want to run a few races, again, during the summer, but I also wanted to do this 100-mile bike ride, and I started putting things together, all right, and mapping out courses, okay, and riding here and riding there, and sure enough, when it came down to Labor Day, I had this idea that I was going to ride my bike from my house. Okay, and I was going to ride 550, and I thought that would be great because my house is right by the end of 550 at the triangle there or whatever, the Y in Zion. And I figured, well, I'm going to ride my bike from one end of 550 all the way to the other end, which is pretty much Tyrone, if you know where it ends. And then from Tyrone, I'll get back on the old 220 or whatever you call that road now. Who knows what you call that road now? Eagle Valley Road? I don't know. It used to be 220. Now I don't know what it is. And I'll ride that all the way back into Milesburg and go home. And sure enough, it was a 72-mile bike ride. And in June, so I rode the 72 miles and did well. Okay, nobody looked at me and said, hey, you look like you're dying or whatever. But I'd been on a training schedule. I've been riding my bike. I've been doing a lot of riding, not just riding on flats. I rode up a couple mountains or whatever. I told people I rode up over Madisonburg Mountain a couple of times in my training schedules. And then rode down to Rebersburg and what's that, 880 that goes back up over the mountain the other way. And I worked at it. And when the newspaper finally interviewed me, the guy asked me, can you ride 100 miles? And I said to him, something like this, I think it's in the article, well, on Labor Day, I rode 72 miles. And I believe I had 28 more miles in me. I believe I'm in good enough shape to do it. And sure enough, by the time the day in September came along that we were going to do it, as John and I set off, I had been on a rigorous training schedule. Okay, I trained. And it was a couple nights when I overshot how I was riding, and I had to ride back home in the dark, and then I got one of those headlights. Anybody know those headlights? So I could at least see the road when I was coming back in, but I rode too far and didn't make it in the time, so I had to come back in the dark. And but when the day came, and I think some of you saw that, when I crossed the finish line at the academy on the 100-mile bike ride, I didn't look like I was dead. I made it, okay? And it wasn't a race, it was a ride, and I rode 100 miles in one day. But here's how it worked, okay? And this is physical fitness. And by the way, I tell people, you could do it too, all right? You just got to get a training schedule. But how it worked was every so often, and it wasn't every day I could get on that bicycle, never could happen that way, but every so often I got on that bicycle and pushed myself to do something. And then the next day I pushed a little bit more. And then the next day I pushed a little bit more. And then the next day I pushed a little bit more. And even when I couldn't do big pushes, at least I got out and rode and did something. And tried to keep going a little bit further. And things were, you know, just kept coming along till finally where, again, my body reacted. And I was able to ride 100 miles. Okay. Now, again, I'm not here to tell you, most of you know that I did it. Thank you. Most of you donated money to it, did you not? And John and I were able to raise money for Center County Christian Academy on the Ride. By the way, we're going to do it again this year, okay? Maybe you want to join us, okay? If you can get in shape, you got to get in shape, because it's a ride, okay? And John wants to change the course and go up over, now, not that it was easy. But here's how it works. You look at something physical, and you can't do it. But if you take the time and put some pressure, force, on your body, slowly and intelligently. Can I say that? The body will respond to the point where you can do it. Now, again, there may become a day when I won't be able to do a 100 mile bike ride anymore. I understand that. I tell people, while I can, let's try. But again, you just start slowly putting yourself in a position where you get stronger and stronger. Now, here's how it works this way, okay? Right now, if somebody would say, well, Pastor, how far can you ride? I haven't ridden my bicycle for months. Now, I know John's been on his, because I asked him today. He's been on his. He's been riding. He's ahead of me already. But again, I always do that race in May, so I've been running. I've been riding my bike. And, you know, so once that race is over, I got to get back on the bike, okay? But here's the thing. When it came to September last year, if you would have said to me, hey, you want to ride out to Kanesatake and see Johnny? And come back, you know what I would have said? Piece of cake. I can do 50 miles. Easy. Why? Because I'm in shape to do how many miles? 100. That's the way it works. Okay? I give you another story that I think is, I always tell people, it's an amazing story because I know the person. It's amazing because I know the person. It's my sister-in-law. Okay? My sister-in-law, and my sister-in-law, the one that, she's never been here, so I'm not talking about somebody that you've ever met at this point in time, but she's never been here. Okay, her name is Shelley. But Shelley, in my estimation, and I'm not wrong, is one of these ladies that was just a little, what's the right word I'm looking for it? Just prissy. Okay? She just never did anything physical her entire life. Never. Okay? She never played any sports. I mean, she has no children because she even told Daryl, I will never have children. I could never, ever have a child. It would kill me. I mean, she was just right up front. She has no children. They have two dogs that they baby. But she goes, I could never have children. I can't do it. I would die. Okay? And so she has no children. And if you would ask her why you don't have children, because she would say, because I couldn't go through having children. I'm not that strong. Okay? But one day, she announced to her husband that she wanted to take up running. Now, he about laughed, but he didn't. Okay? But if you know her, and I've told this story before, if she's going to take up running, she's the kind of person that she is going to get the best running clothes you can get. So he knew when she took up running that he was going to have to pay some money. So off they go on a shopping trip to buy her running clothes. I mean, and she wants good-looking running clothes. And he felt like, okay, this is something. Now, again, this is where he was. This is something I'll buy her clothes for, and she'll wear them once, and they'll go in the closet, in the drawer, and that'll be it. But he went out and bought her really nice-looking running clothes. Bought her really expensive sneakers. I mean, she is dolled up when she goes out to run. She's got nice clothes, okay? And finally, they got the clothes. She's all ready to go. And she said, well, I'm going to go out running today. And she put on the clothes, put the hair bands on just right, got looking real good. And he was just kind of watching the whole thing, okay? Because Daryl is an athlete, and he is a runner, and he does ride bicycle. And again, he's a good athlete. And he just watched her get all dressed up, and she went out the door, and I know where they live, okay? And I can see it. And she ran to the end of the driveway. And he watched her, and she stopped. She turned around and came back in and said, that's enough for today. Okay? It took her 10 seconds to get to the end of the driveway, and it took her an hour to get dressed for it. Okay? Is everybody with me on that? But lo and behold, to his surprise, the next day, she said, it's time to go running. She got all the clothes on again, tied the sneakers on, and this time she went to the end of the driveway, made a right, and went to the end of the property and stopped. Walked back home. Said, that's enough for today. And folks, That's what she started doing. And I think it was pretty much a telephone pole a day. She'd go out in the driveway, make a right to the telephone pole. She's done, walk back home. And then this next time she went past that telephone pole to the next telephone pole. And then finally, when she was getting a little bit further from the house, she decided it was time to stop walking home. But the next time, I'll just go to the telephone pole and then run back like two telephone poles. And she was counting telephone poles all the time. And then you go one more telephone pole and then you come back, which is two telephone poles. But she just started doing this. And next thing you know, I receive word that her and Daryl ran the Amish Bird in Hand half marathon together. Like, wow, okay. So I went online, and they ran it in 2 hours and 18 minutes. That's good, folks. That's good. Not world record time, nothing like that. But if you finish in 2 hours and 18 minutes, a number of people finished ahead of you, but a lot of people finished after you. Next thing I hear that her and Daryl get up every Saturday morning and run 8 miles to breakfast. Every Saturday morning, they run 8 miles to breakfast. You know, and I talk to them all the time, and they're running a half marathon here. Next thing I'm running him. This is a lady that if you'd have said to me, well, she's going to take up racing and she's going to run a half marathon, I tried not to laugh. Nah, not Shelley. Of all the people in my life that I know, not Shelley. And yet she just did it a little bit at a time. Never quit. And now she runs 8 miles every Saturday morning when you're getting out of breakfast. Here's a lady who's never done anything. She's running the breakfast. I think they meet somebody there, and they have breakfast together, and then they get in the car and drive back. Okay, so it's 8 miles to breakfast, but then they get a ride back home because they meet with somebody there every time or whatever. And now she's a runner, okay, just a little bit at a time. Now, I know I'm giving you these illustrations, but this is physical fitness. I know that if you go online, isn't there a website called C25K. I did that backwards for you. C, then a 2, then a 5, and a K. And what it means is couch to 5 kilometers. How to get from your couch to where you can run a 5-kilometer race. And it's just a very slow progression, sort of like what she did. You know? And now if you would say to Shelley, hey, what about running a 5-kilometer race? Piece of cake. I run half marathons now. Wow. Now, I don't know how long it took, but she didn't run the half marathon the first year. It took a long time, a long time. But she just stayed with it. Now, I'm going to switch gears. Spiritual fitness. There's a lot of Christians that quit. A lot of Christians that don't make it to the finish line in the Christian life. What's the reason? They have no spiritual fitness plan. No spiritual fitness plan. Oh, we come up with physical fitness plans. We come up with all kinds of plans of how we're going to do something. But if you were to ask somebody, what is your spiritual fitness plan? What is your plan? So again, as you're running this race that we call the Christian life, what is your plan so that you don't become a casual along the way? That you are going to make it to the... I mean, by the way, we want to make it to the finish line, do we not? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's where, again, lay aside all the weights. We're in a great cloud of witnesses. Run with patience. The race is set before us. Folks, again, Paul says in what? Philippians chapter 3, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a finish line. Are you going to make it? Are you going to make it? And if you say, well, I don't know. Well, get on a spiritual fitness plan. Now, if you look here at Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, you're going to see that if you want to make it through some big obstacles that are going to come your way in your life, you've got to build up to it and get strong. You've got to build up to it and get strong. And that's where tribulations come in. That's where tribulations come in. Again, I could have other people talk about other physical fitness areas that I'm not familiar with. I've never been a weightlifter or whatever. But I would just tell somebody, you know, that if you ever want to look at a barbell that weighs 200 pounds and say, boy, someday I'd like to bench press that. Okay? And somebody goes ahead and puts you on the bench and they drop it on you and it goes down and suffocates you and you can't push it up. Okay? I guarantee you that there are physical fitness trainers out there that can put you on a plan. And I'm not saying next week. I'm not even saying within the year. But I am saying that there are physical fitness trainers that can put you on a program that down the road, they'll drop that 200-pound weight on you, and guess what you'll do? You'll push it back up and put it on the thing. It'll happen because you're working at it gradually. Maybe that's what it is. I talked about biking or whatever, and Shelley with running, and maybe somebody with lifting. There's all kinds of things you can do. Okay, to get on. But spiritual fitness plan. Do you have a spiritual fitness now? Here's how it works. As tough things come into our lives, somewhere along life, as we lead up to it, we've got to have other tough things come in our life a little bit at a time. Now, I do know this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you, but such as come to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be what? Attempted above that ye are able. And I do know that with temptations and tribulations and trials that God brings in our lives, that we need these things to get stronger. I got grandsons. I see the little one a good bit. I call him Reedy River, okay? And you're like, why do you call him Reedy River? Because in Greenville, right by Bob Jones University, there's a river called the Reedy River. So his name's Reed, so I just call him the Reedy River, okay? But again, Reedy River every day is doing something different. But you know what I learned a long time ago? I got to keep my hands off of him. As he's trying to sit up, don't help him. As he's trying to stand up, don't help him. Okay? Now, I do know this. He is going to flop over from time to time. Okay? But when he flops over, if he's not hurt, let him alone. Because guess what he'll do? He'll get right back up and start again. We were at Grandma's house the other day. And that would be what... his great-grandmother's house or whatever, and he was on the carpeted surface, and he was sitting there, and he was moving around doing good, and we were there eating some dessert or whatever, and all of a sudden we heard, it was just like a... And we looked over, and he had crawled, like, moved off the carpet and flopped over his head and hit the wooden floor. Bonk. Wow. You could tell it hurt, okay? So we loved him a little bit, but then put him back on the floor. Let him go, okay? Because if all I do is ever help him do everything, what? He's not going to get strong enough. So I, you know, and my daughter said, I'm afraid if I leave Reedy at your house, all you're going to do is hold and love him all the time. And then when he gets home, he's going to be spoiled and want to be held. Didn't happen at my house. He spends a lot of time on the floor. I just let him go. He's working it. He's getting stronger. You ought to see him do, he does push-ups almost now. He's doing push-ups. He's getting those one arms. He wants to be the lion. I don't know. But how do you make a kid stronger? Let him go. Let him work. Don't keep doing everything for him. And God brings tribulations into our lives. He brings trials. He brings things into our lives to say, you know what? Today, this is what you need in your life. And as you do it with His help, you'll become stronger. And then the next day, God brings another trial into our lives, a tribulation, maybe even a temptation. And you know what? It's a little stronger than the one before. But you know what? God gives us the strength, and we're getting stronger. And then the next day, it comes a little bit more. And you know what? We get a little bit stronger. And when people say, I want patience, the word patience here is, and I've said this before, the word patience is not the word to wait. It's not waiting. It's doing the right thing for as long as you're supposed to do it. So in a race, what is patience? Running until when? Till it's over. We're not going to quit. That's patience. In a basketball game, until the final horn sounds. Okay, you just keep playing. In soccer, you keep moving, you keep kicking, you keep doing whatever you do. In football, you keep blocking, until it's over, you don't quit. That's patience. And you know what? If you want patience, the ability to keep doing something as long as you're supposed to do it, God's got to bring some tribulation in your life. It's that barbell. It's a little bit heavier today than yesterday. Does anybody ever hear about the farmer when somebody said to him, hey, Mr. Farmer, can you pick up a cow? Can you pick up a full-grown cow? And he said, I don't know, but I'll let you know in a little bit. And I guess there was a newborn calf, okay? And he went over and picked up the newborn calf. And then the next day, he picked up the newborn calf. And then the next day, he picked up the newborn calf. And then the next day, he picked up the newborn calf. I don't know, but if you're the farmer and every day you pick up that newborn calf, after a while, you will be able to do what? Pick up a cow. To me, though, there's got to be a day, though, when you go over and try to pick that cow up, and it's just like, oops, not today, okay? But maybe the cow was getting bigger and the farmer still was getting what? Stronger. Still getting stronger there. And that's what God needs to bring. Now, this is what we have to look at. Now, watch this, okay? You've got to look at this. We glory, okay, in tribulations. Why? Because God's going to make us stronger. And I want to be stronger. I want to be a Christian. It's going to make it to the end. And God's got to bring those barbells into my life. He's got to put some hills in front of me. He's got to put some telephone poles that I got to run the distance. And if I can do that and say, well, God, you know what, God, you really put me through the rigors today. But God, thank you because you're making me stronger. I've said this before, okay? Maybe for some of you it's true. When my wife and I were first married, there were some trials that came into our lives that about knocked us off our feet. I mean, they were tough. And now we look back a bunch of years later at some of the trials that God brought into our lives, and guess what we do now? Oh, for those days. Those were easy trials. Why are we looking at them as being easy now? We're stronger people. We're stronger than we used to be. Okay? And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be stronger. So we need to say somewhere along the line, praise God that He puts us through trials, tribulations, so that we can just keep flexing our spiritual muscles and get stronger and stronger to the day when, you know what? God brings things in our lives and we get through them. And all of a sudden one day we're at the finish line of our lives and we look back and we stayed on course and we didn't quit. Again, the worst thing a Christian can do is quit. That's the worst thing a Christian can do is quit. Don't quit. Keep moving forward. Well, I need strength. Well, God will give it to you every day. Every day. I think about this. You can go there if you want, but it's 1 Samuel 17. It's David and Goliath. Here, David shows up. And they say, hey, there's a big giant out there. What's he say? I'll go fight him. Now watch this. Did this guy have any experience at fighting? God got him ready for the day. I mean, he's watching sheep. Easy job, isn't it? No, it's not an easy job. Things showed up to take his sheep, and he went out and took care of them. Now, I know the power of God, and I'm not discounting that. But when he looked out there at Goliath, what did he say? I've already handled a lion and a bear. I was at the National Zoo this week. I saw some lions. I'm not jumping over the fence and taking them on. Okay? In fact, I saw the cheetah before I saw the lion. And I looked at that cheetah, and you know what I said? That cheetah's bigger than I thought it would be. Because sometimes when you see cheetahs on TV, they look little and scrawny with the scrawny little legs. And I looked at that cheetah like, hey, ain't taking it on. In fact, I looked at a house cat one time and said, I ain't taking that thing on. Okay? You get a house cat on fire, buddy Rowan. That's even hard to take on. But he took on a lion, and he took on a bear. Now watch as you look at Romans chapter 5, read this, because it goes on to the next verse, no? We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and watch, patience experience, and experience hope. Those are David verses. He said, I got a big God, and I can handle that giant. Why? Because I've been through some tribulation, and tribulations have made me stronger. And these getting stronger patience have given me experience. I know what God can do, and now I've got hope. That guy's going to die because God works through people. And so you can see here, tribulations, patience, hope, experience, hope. David said, I'll do it. You know what I think? The other guys in the army, they hadn't done the things that David did. Oh, they made fun of him for watching sheep. Didn't they make fun of him when he showed up? Yeah, they made fun of him. You know, who'd you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? Hey, those sheep have made me strong because I've not lost a one of them. I still... just can't wrap my mind around him watching a lamb being taken by a lion and he ran after it. How about you? I'd have just gotten out my accounting book and said, minus one. Lion. Dad will understand. But he didn't. And then he went after the bear. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know what's worse, a bear or a lion. Bears are pretty tough. And he went after it. And so consequently, God is making him strong, you know. And now I know that a lot of times we picture David watching sheep sitting on a rock playing a harp. How many of you have seen the pictures? You know what, folks? He didn't go from playing a harp to killing lions. Somewhere along the line, he said, you know what? Lions may show up. I need to get ready. And I believe he didn't sit all day on a rock and play a harp. I believe this guy was maybe doing push-ups and chin-ups. Maybe he was running around the flock. And when it was time to, I guarantee he was doing this, was he not? He was doing, well, I would do this, right? Slingshots or whatever. But this guy, he got himself ready. So when the lion showed up, he's ready. He was spiritual. What about spiritual fitness? What spiritual fitness are you on right now? That's what we need. And sometimes what we say is, oh, God, just make my life easy. And what we need to say is, God, bring some tribulation, some trials into my life. Make me stronger. Because at the end of the summer, 100-mile obstacle is coming my way, and I got to be ready for it. It's going to be a big test of my faith, and you need to make me stronger. Go with me to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. I know we read these verses. These are parallel. But I believe the first chapter of James was written to a bunch of people that felt that God had given them a raw deal. That's my own belief. He was writing to people who said, oh, our life is so bad. We've got trials. We've got tribulations. Our life is so bad. Nobody has it as bad as we do. And all of a sudden, James said, I'm going to write you guys a letter. And the first thing he says is what? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Stop your belly aching. God has given you guys some trials, and you ought to rejoice because he's going to make you stronger. Don't you faint in the middle of them. God's going to make you stronger. And notice how it works, see? You gotta rejoice. This is what you need to know, verse 3. You need to know this, that the trying of your faith worketh. There's that word again. What is it? Patience. He makes me stronger so I can do what I need to do all the way to the end. If I got to lift a heavy barbell, God gets me ready for it. If I got to run a race, I'm ready for it. If I got to ride a bike, I'm ready to do it. Whatever God has called me to do. But here it is. God has called me to go through a hardship. But you know what? I'm going to be able to trust him and get on the other side. But notice, when you have patience in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect and entire. What is it? Wanting nothing. God has got you to the place where you are now a mature Christian. And when things come into your life, you're ready to handle them. You're ready to handle them. Again, that's what God wants to do. So when trials come, don't lament them. Don't bellyache. Don't complain. Say, dear God, thank you for this trial. Make me stronger. You know what we do when we get in the middle of a trial? Dear God, get it over with now. Dear God, get it over with now. Again, I hate to say this, but if you're practicing for a long distance race, your trials can't be over now. They got to last for a while. They got to last for a while. So you're going to go out. You're going to have to run a distance. You're going to have to go bike a ride for a while. You're going to have to lift some heavy weights. God, don't make them over now, but Lord, help me get through them. Give me the muscles to do it. So when I add one more pound onto that barbell tomorrow, I'll be able to do it. Lord, keep me getting stronger. Get me keep doing it. Go with me to Acts chapter 5, please. Acts chapter 5. I believe we have a bunch of people. And as I look at Acts chapter 5, think about the people that this is going to be written about then. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to look at verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Here's the word. I haven't concentrated on it yet, but I will. Acts 5, 41, they departed from the presence of the council. Notice it. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Did they quit? No. Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who is this group? Well, folks, around the Lord's Supper table, a lot of those disciples gave testimony on the day that Jesus was arrested. What did they do? They fled. Every one of them fled except for who? John. Every one of them fled. These same people who fled just weeks before are now standing up and saying what? Go ahead and beat us. Go ahead and put us in jail. Go ahead and do whatever you think you have to do. But we cannot stop but tell people what we have seen and heard. Wow! They're strong now. How'd they get strong? Well, there's been some tribulation. They'd spent some time in jail. They'd spent some time in front of councils being scourged and yelled at and told what not to do. And you know what? They're getting stronger. They're getting stronger. They're getting stronger. In fact, these Christians got to the place where basically, if you don't stop telling people about Jesus, we will kill you. And you know what? They didn't stop, and they were killed. But they didn't stop. They were strong. You don't get to be spiritually strong sitting on an easy bed. What did the hymn writer call it? Shall I go off to glory on flowery beds of ease? What song is that? I can never picture them up. Flowery beds of ease. We don't want to go to heaven on flowery beds of ease, folks. We want to go there standing up, still working for Jesus. That's what we want to do. So when we read here that tribulations bring patience, don't despise tribulations. Rejoice that God brings them. I know it's hard, but we read in James, rejoice. We read in Romans, rejoice. In fact, if you looked at Romans 5:2 to Romans 5:3, our memory verses, when we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God and then we glory in tribulations, the word for rejoice and the word for glory are the same exact word. Okay? So when we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God and we glory in tribulations, that's rejoice in tribulations. Same word. Rejoice. So you know what? Tomorrow when you get out of bed and God brings something on you, thank you, God. You're going to make me stronger. And then later this week when another hardship comes or another trial comes or another heartache comes, thank you, God. Work in my life. Make me stronger. Make me stronger. This is where I'm going to finally put it this way. We want to be so strong spiritually that God works in our lives to the point that nothing's going to stop us. Because God said, I won't tempt you more than you're able. I won't put more on you than you can handle. But we will run all the way to the end. I don't know. I know some of you know it, but I am going to run a race on Saturday. Okay, I run it every year. I'm going to run a race on Saturday. Everybody asks me, what's your goal? I know what you're talking about. What's my goal? You know my goal is? To never walk the entire race. Just run the whole way. Time-wise, I know what I like to run time-wise, but you know, every year I get older, it gets a little harder to keep up the pace, does it not? Because I can't see myself at this day, at 75 running the same pace that I ran at 40. Somewhere I'm slowing down. But the idea is don't walk. Run the whole race. That's my goal. Spiritually, what's your goal? Well, there's a finish line out there somewhere for me. I want to run the whole way. I don't want to stop. I don't want to go back. So God put me on a fitness plan spiritually. Make me strong. So as trials come, let's get happy about it. Let's get happy. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor, do you like running? I like when it's over. But I do tell people, I just went to Washington, D.C., okay? Because I try to keep myself in a little bit of shape, I think it was easier, all that we walked. By the way, if you go to Washington, walk. Okay? I can just still do things with my grandkids. I still like playing soccer and basketball. So God, I got to get up every morning and get strong so I can do those things. But God, spiritual fitness, I've said enough. I think you got it. When trials come our way, say, God, thank you for putting me into the spiritual gym. Thank you for making me strong. So I can make it all the way to the finish line. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings what? Patience. And patience is, I'm not going to quit. Father, I pray you would help us to be patient people, which means people that don't quit. Lord, in the race of life, as we head for eternity, Lord, we won't quit. We won't stop. Lord, we'll keep moving. And Lord, I pray that you'll bring such tribulations into our life as what we can handle. But each day it makes us stronger. And Lord, we do know as we look ahead that in our country, there may be strong tribulations coming for Christians. Lord, we need to be kind of people when they come, we're ready for them. Lord, help us. Make us strong. And Lord, because of that, I know I'm praying for tribulation. Bring them. Help me to have a great attitude about it. Because the final outcome is patience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.